It's good to have each one of you here tonight. And wow. It's already the 5th of October. Time is going on. Over the next few weeks, as we journey through 1 Kings here, we're going to run into some extremely interesting passages of Scripture. And so I stopped short of one of them tonight. But as we journey on with Jeroboam and the prophecy here, but Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was the man that caused Israel to sin. And so we'll talk about that. But tonight we're going to deal with the prophecy of it and some things that God has laid out here. And it's just extremely interesting, but I had to force myself to stop because I didn't want to get into this other stuff because it's so good for all of us. It's just got principle after principle after principle for us to look at. And so with that in mind, we'll be in 1 Kings 11, 26 to 39 tonight. And talking about Jeroboam to be king of 10 tribes. So we'll talk about that some. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessings upon this tonight. And then see what great things we can pull out of this tonight for you and me to live by, to look at. And may it speak to our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we are totally dependent upon you. And so, Father, I know this, that without you we can do nothing. But with you all things are possible. And so, Father, I ask tonight that you would grant all of us a filling of the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, I pray that you would open our understanding, that we would understand the Scriptures. And Lord, as we look into the Word of God, as we see these principles of the Old Testament, the rights, the wrongs, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. Father, as we see these things, I pray that may the Holy Spirit take these things and show us what we need to know. Teach us from your Word. And so now, Lord, we commit this unto you. We pray for your presence tonight, and we thank you for that. May you be glorified in what we do. Now, Father, you said we're two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So we thank you for your presence. And we pray, Father, that nothing would be done that would hinder the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And so now we commit this unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And so we're going to look here at the prophetic part of the installation of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the man that made Israel to sin. And the dividing of Israel. And so, isn't it something that when we look at King Solomon, we look at the good part of Solomon, mostly, and we say, well, look at his wisdom, look at his wisdom, but the end of his life, poof, look what happened. But you're going to learn something about Solomon. Solomon, number one, taxed the people heavily. When you look at the history of it, and so you'll even learn that from the Word of God here in the next couple of weeks, that Solomon taxed the people. He taxed them, man, he taxed them on everything. And so when we get to looking at the history of things, not too good. We ought to learn from it. You know that? The Bible says these things are written for your admonishment. And so that means we need to, if God said that, then we need to read it, study it, look at it, and allow the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God to admonish us. Amen. All right? And that's what it's here for. All right, let's begin now. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. But now let's learn. Here we go, verse 28. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. All right. Now, there's one thing about power. If you don't have the character and the integrity to handle authority, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy others. So you take a young man that's filled with ego and attitude, and then you give him authority, you're going to find that he's not going to be able to handle it. Listen, it says here that Solomon saw this. He looked at the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. But then he calls him, seeing the young man. See that? That speaks volumes to you and me. Listen, when you take a young man he's a mighty man of valor. It's kind of like the analogy, the old war horse analogy. You might have a good horse that's really a war horse. In other words, it keeps its senses when bombs are going off. It keeps its senses. It stays yielded to the master. But if you let that war horse go, it really doesn't know what to do. It has this built-in integrity. It is loyal to its master. So what you find is you take a young man that's got valor, mighty valor, and then you recognize that valor, and then you make him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Now what you've got a young man that has a way to express his ego and his attitude. Previously, he didn't. Previously, it was controlled. He was part of the bunch. Now he's the leader of the bunch. And I've watch that happen often, and it doesn't work. And so what you have here now, you've got Jeroboam. He's in authority. Something's going to happen. He's got this ego, this attitude. And let's see what's fixing to happen now, because in verse 29 it says, and it came to pass. Uh-oh. And like I've told you before, anytime you read in the scripture where it says, and it came to pass, you better stop right there and read it really, really good, because you're fixing to learn a lesson. All right? Never fails. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. In other words, Jeroboam had a new garment on, okay? And Ahijah, verse 30 now, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. Wow. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Well, so God's going to do something now. So now Solomon, now notice this up here. You got to get this, all right? When you look at verse 26, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow, even he lifted up his hand against the king. You see that? Now, you got to put this together. So here you've got this guy that says he lifted his hand up against the king. Then it says, and the man in verse 28, and the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And so, listen, he had to have some type of ego, an attitude, or he had had enough sense not to do what he's going to do. You're going to stand up against Solomon? You see? But because of his ego and stuff, then Solomon looks at him and says, well, I'm going to put this young man over the house of Joseph. All right. Now we find, as we look at this passage of Scripture, God is going to make him king over 10 tribes. Now, God's got a way of bringing judgment to a nation. God's got a way of bringing judgment. This passage of Scripture we're looking here is one of, just amazing to me. So now what we find, we've got down here to verse 33 now. God's going to give him 10 tribes, but God's going to reserve Judah. And that's going to be the things left for David, for David's sake. But now look at verse 33. Let me show you something. Verse 33 tells us of how low down Solomon went. Now watch verse 33. Because that they had forsaken me and have worshipped Asheroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Now folks, if we were to study Asheroth, the only way we could do that, you just have to do it on your own. Because, especially when you start looking in the history of that, you talk about immoral. I mean, they worshiped certain body parts. They were rotten immoral. And then you got Chemosh, the god of the Moabites. Now, Chemosh and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, both of those gods required child sacrifice. And I know Milcom, I've seen one picture of them, and I've told you about that before. They had this brass god standing there, and on the inside of him, they'd build this fire, just hot, you know, hot, hot, hot. And then they'd drop their children into the hands of this god. And the cruelty of that was just unbelievable. And have not walked in my ways to do which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as David his father. Solomon's immoral life just got worse. He brought these women in, and then the influence of that started taking him down, 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 and down. And so the tragic thing is this. Solomon up front might have said, give me wisdom. There were some other things he should have asked God for. Like conviction of sin. God, don't let me do this. God put it in my heart to do this. You see, a heart unkept. When you look at Solomon, what you see is Solomon, he made a terrible mistake, and I watch a lot of other people today make the same mistake. And that's this. There was two influences. Up front, God had the influence. In the end, his lust, his flesh, and the world had the influence. And so it is with everybody in this room right now. You will do whatever influences you the most. Do you hear me talking? You will do whatever influences you the most. That's why you've got to be totally committed to the right type of influence. And if you're not committed to the right type of influence, then what you're going to find is this. Whatever the main desire of your flesh is, that's what you're going to wind up doing. Because that's where the main influence will be. I've watched men get under the influence of money. And buddy, next thing you know, God and church and everything else went out the window. Why? Because their focus was money, making money, getting things, doing things. Same way with fun. I've watched people get under the influence of let's run and do, live fast, love hard, die young, and go to hell. I've watched people get under the influence of people that had money. And that's one of the biggest tragedies there is that, like the Joneses, they got the money and they're trying to live up to them. Listen, don't you try to live up to nobody. You take your life that God give you and you live that life before God. Forget the Joneses. Forget everybody else that's trying to do that. But I've watched people go down the tubes because of money. I've watched people go down the tubes because of alcohol, drugs, immorality. What happened? The influence, they, rather than rejecting the influence, seeing the danger of the influence, they accepted the influence. They allowed the influence to have influence. And that's it. Joseph had an opportunity to live an immoral life with Potiphar's wife. But what did he do? He took off running. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you don't linger in the realm of temptation. Because if you do, the devil will start talking to you. Ask Eve about that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Eve has something to say about it. Now, we live in a time of the hellavision, don't we? But the hellavision has been replaced with the handheld hellavision. And I was listening to a little commentary, and this school counselor, he said, well, the biggest problem we have now is that, he said, the teenagers are all watching porn on their phones and stuff. And then they said, well, what else? He said, well, violence. Look at all the violence. He said, the games, every game you got, they're shooting somebody, killing somebody, whatever it is. He said, don't you understand? It's influence. It's influence. You see. So here's the problem. Solomon, with all of his wisdom, could not handle the influence. And so listen, I don't care if you're dumber than a driveway rock, or you've got the brains of Einstein, it makes no difference. If you let influence have the influence, it's going to take you places you don't want to go. But the thing of it is, a lot of people don't recognize the influence. And that's tragic. So what we have here in verse 33, it says, because that they have forsaken me. Now, you need to circle that statement. You need to circle it, underline it, then rewrite it somewhere in capital letters. Because there's something in that statement that you need to look at. I'll tell you what's not in that little statement. What's not in verse 33, where it says, because that they have forsaken me. What's not there is this. See the word they? Look at it. Circle it. You see, Solomon got the rest of the people to accept it also. They, rather than it saying because that he had forsaken me, it says because that they have forsaken me. And so what we find here is simply this. The leader had, with his influence, had caused Israel to sin. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, what did he do when he took power? Well, one of the first things he did, he built these big golden calves. Big golden cows, big golden bulls. That's why every now and then on an advertisement years ago, I used to see they'd have a picture of New York and this big bull, you know. And I thought to myself, man, where'd they get that from? Out of the Bible, you know. But that's what Jeroboam did, is he took what Solomon had started and added to it. Now, I'm going to show you something here in a minute that's absolutely amazing about this. And it's probably in your life also. So Solomon, in his immorality, had influenced the nation to accept immorality. That's like the leaders of America and the Supreme Court.
Right.
Those wicked, immoral, hell-bound bastards, had accepted immorality, and then they passed laws to shove it down your throat. So now you have all these people struggling all the time, whether he's a, whether this guy is an it, a shim, or she, or whatever it is, and just plumb stupid. But now just think about it. Some hospitals do not even declare a child, a born, newborn child, boy or girl, because of it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is plumb insanity. 100%. How in the world can people that claim to be doctors and nurses and that type of people be so cotton picking stupid? They look at a newborn boy or girl and say, "Well, I can't tell you what it is. I don't want that doctor touching me." If you're so stupid, you can't tell a boy from a girl. Now listen. Do you see, folks, what's happened? The influence of leadership has taken this nation down an immoral road, and they want you to accept their deception. That's why Christian people are at odds with a lot of things. Because we cannot accept that deception. As has already been said, when God made them, he didn't make them. He made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, you let the next generation raise up that stays under this influence, they'll accept it. Well, as I went through school, it was that way. And so they want you to accept it. Now watch this. And so the influence is said, because that they have forsaken me. And look what they were doing. Man, they were doing every immoral thing that God said not to do. They were sacrificing their children to these idols that God said not to do. How in the world did the whole society fall into that? That's amazing to me. And so it is in America. It's amazing to me. Do you realize the individual states have the right to veto what the Supreme Court does? In other words, the Supreme Court said, well, this is right. Well, if one or two, the state of Indiana can say, we're not accepting the vote of the Supreme Court on this issue. Right? But no individual state has stood against the influence of this gross, right out of the pits of hell, immorality. Not a one of them has stood against it. It's like the people keep calling, well, the left, the far left. What are you, in a boxing match or something? The far left, the far left. Why don't they call them what they are? You know, they'll hint at it. Well, this socialist communist movement, you know, you'll hear that a little bit. But no, what they need to do is call them what they are.
Right.
Call that one crowd, they're a bunch of moral perverts. Call the other crowd, these are a bunch of crazy communists is what they are. But they won't do it, will they? You know why? Because of the influence of the opposition. Christian people are afraid of the rebuttal.
Yeah.
Christian people, preachers especially, don't want to stand and be faithful to God. Oh, they'll do it inside these four walls. They talk big in here. But boy, when they walk out there, man, they gone from a roaring lion in here to Mickey Mouse out there.
That's right.
You see. So you look at the influence, because that they have forsaken me. You see that? What a truth. Now, let's go to verse 34. Are you learning anything? Amen. God, I hope you are tonight. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Well, there's somebody. Now, listen. You go from they to David. You go from the corporate to the single. Look at this now. Because that they have forsaken me. See that word they? But down here it talks about David. One man. One man. You see that? One man. One man. You don't find they down there. In other words, man, we move from this corporate body down to this one man. So I would ask you this. Are you willing to be the one person? Everybody else has gone nuts. Right. Are you willing to be the one? Are you willing to be the one?
Right.
David, God keeps referring to David. Look what David did. David kept my commandments. David did this. David repented of his sin. David got eat up with the dum-dums and done what he did. But man, did David come crawling back to God. You see, are you willing to be the one? The masses, for they have forsaken me, but David, one, didn't. You see that? A lesson here tonight. I've learned something in my lifetime. A lot of times it takes more courage to stand than it does to do anything else.
Right.
Can you be courageous for God? Can you stand in the face of friends, family, and foe? For God, do you have the courage to say, God, here I am, live or die, sink or swim, let's do it. The fact of it is, as you see, compromise always goes downhill. Look at verse 35. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and I will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. Well, man, we went from the heyday of Solomon, gold, gold, and more gold, and things being built, and everything you could imagine. Look at it now. Downhill it goes. You see that? But look at this. Everybody went with him. Verse 33, everybody went with him. Who are you following? Who are you following? Who's having the influence in your life? Who are you following? There's three gods that most people follow. God number one. Parents usually turn their children into their gods. Number two, grandparents usually turn their grandchildren into their gods.
Right.
And number three, a lot of people just turn themselves into their own gods. They become a god unto themselves.
Right. Amen.
You might say, well, that's tough. I didn't say it was going to be easy. Truth does not salve our conscience.
Amen.
You take truth with the Holy Spirit, what's he going to do? He's going to take truth and sting our conscience.
Amen.
Right. He doesn't leave us alone.
Right.
Man, sometimes Holy Spirit gets on me and, man, sleep flees. I try to pray and it seems like the walls are brass and the roof is lead. The devil's standing on the outside laughing and giggling and I can't get to him to slap him. I mean, just, that's just the way it is. But the fact of it is, what's influencing you? Is your television influencing you? Is your cell phone influencing you? Or is it just your own desire to have something influencing you? Listen. Watch this now. Verse 35. I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand. Isn't it amazing? Like the Bible says, you know what the parents do in moderation, the children will do in excess. Well, the question rises then, how do parents get to doing anything in moderation? Huh? Why are they doing it in moderation? Why are you even doing it?
Right.
If it's wrong, why are you doing it?
That's right.
You see, when you talk about something, let's talk about what are you leaving behind. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee. Wow. I mentioned that last week that Solomon, boy, he was so stuck on himself, he forgot his heritage, didn't he? Solomon was so stuck on himself, he forgot his heritage. Wasn't too good, was it? You might have said, oh, I'd like to have Solomon, my dad. No, you wouldn't. No, 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 no. No. Because what he left you was a life of hell, woe, and misery. It's what he left behind. Boy, now that's a big thrill, isn't it? Well, go to verse 36. Are y'all getting anything out of this?
Amen.
The reason I like going through the Word of God like this, because these principles, I don't know about you, but they tear me up sometimes. I mean, sometimes God just throws me on the floor and stomps on me. Then he says, go preach it. And then sometimes he gives it to me and I think, I'll preach that. And he said, no, you're not. Not until I finish beating on you first. Look at verse 36 now. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David, my servant, may have a light always before me in Jerusalem. God's going to keep his promise. You know that?
Amen.
Look at that. It said that David, who's long since dead, my servant, may have a light always before me in Jerusalem. Wow. God promised something to David, and God's keeping that promise. Now watch this. The city which I have chosen me to put my name there. Isn't it amazing? God in his sovereignty has the right to choose a place, right, to worship. God's got the right to choose this and that and what he wants done and all the outlines of it and what type of sheep he wants, but then some people say, yeah, but God didn't have the right to choose me. Sorry. You've gotten under the influence of an idiot. Listen. Anybody that takes away anything from the sovereignty of God is trying to limit God.
Right.
That's insane. Verse 37. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. What? Are you serious? Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the one that made Israel to sin? God's going to make him ruler over Israel. And look what it says. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all thy soul. According to all that thy soul desireth. And shalt be king over Israel. Power without integrity. Power without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Power without character. Power without integrity. Look what we've got. And God says, I'm going to let you do anything you want to there. Anything your soul desire. Well, listen. Look at Solomon. Look at Solomon. God told Solomon the same thing almost. And look what happened. He might have had wisdom, but he didn't have integrity. And so now he's going to take Jeroboam and he's going to tell him the same thing. The judgment of God is coming. You see that? Everybody might have said, "Woo, good." But the judgment of God's coming. I'm going to let you go there. You can have everything your soul desires. But now, let's look at God's qualifications here. Let's look at the condition of success or failure. It reads something like God had said to Solomon, doesn't it? Now, I've done this for you. It's highlighted in yellow. Then I put thee, and thee in bigger letters. See that? In other words, what you're fixing to read here, it's individual standard. It's an individual condition for success or failure. And so it amounts to this. If Jeroboam would have done this and succeeded, everybody else would have succeeded also. If Jeroboam fails, everybody fails with Jeroboam. And so up in verse 33, look what happened. Solomon failed and everybody failed with him. See that? Man. Now down here, God's going to put Jeroboam in office. And he says, thee, and thee. In other words, if you succeed, they will succeed. Israel will succeed. If you fail, they fail. You see that? That's why, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to learn to follow God.
Amen.
Because with God, God don't fail. You see that? That's why it's so important if the people would have followed God. I'll follow you until you depart from God. Then me and you'll part ways. Let's look at this now. Verse 38. 1 Kings 11, 38. And it shall be. All right? In other words, this is written in stone. Got it? written in stone? Is what it says it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house. Boy, you better underline that. Underline that thing, a sure house. Ever so important. That's the house that's going to stay. A sure house. So what you find then is God is giving Jeroboam the opportunity to have a stable country, to have a stable Israel, to have a stable time in his life, to have a stable kingship. He's going to have a sure house. Who's going to make the house sure? God is.
Amen.
He said, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Thee, and thee. You see that? I want you to know something. If this man succeeds, they succeed. If this man fails, they fail. You see that? But stop. Let me ask you a question. You see, as you and I go through the Word of God, we'll find that there were some people in the Word of God. They were willing to follow others until others went awry from God. Weren't they? I mean, well, just something that's fresh in your mind is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We talked about that. Man, they were willing to follow the king, do all kinds of things until the king got crossed up with God. And then they said, king, no, we'll follow you and do all this other stuff. We'll work for you, do these things. But now you've done something that we can't do. And the king said, if you don't, and they said, let it be. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what we've got to realize is this. I can follow somebody until somebody separates from God. And then that's when we separate.
Amen.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, the influence of the world wants us to compromise for the sake of unity. Do you hear me talking?
Amen.
The world wants us to compromise for the sake of unity. Our children want us to compromise for the sake of unity. Our grandchildren want us to compromise for the sake of unity. All the preachers around me want me to compromise for the sake of unity. Churches around us want us to compromise for the sake of unity. One of the local churches, man, he's got the Pentecostals, everybody else. Boy, they're all getting together doing that thing. And he called me and said, come join us. Come join us. I'm not going to allow that influence into my life. I'm not going to allow it into this church life.
Amen.
You see, what you find is this. Sometimes we succeed because somebody else succeeded. And sometimes we fail because somebody else failed. That's life, whether we like it or not. But there's one thing we can do. We can limit that. If you want to walk away from God, you're going to have to do it without me. If you want to start preaching out of a different Bible, you can do it without me. If you want to start accepting Protestant doctrine into a Baptist church, go ahead, but you can do it without me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, What we find is this. Somebody, somewhere, needs to look at the condition of success or failure and look and say, listen, God's give you a great opportunity to succeed. Now, if you don't take that opportunity, that's your business, but I'm going to. If you want to fail, fail on your own, but you're not going to do it with me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a reality here. He said, and build thee a sure house. God is going to make sure that this man's house, this man's work, everything will be a sure house, a stable house, a victorious house, a house blessed of God. Do you see that? But look, there's the condition. And it shall be if thou wilt hearken, that means to hear and do, unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, and keep my commandments, and my commandments. Wow. My. Look at that. You see that? Now what you need to do while you're sitting here right now with a pencil in your hand, you need to look at that passage of Scripture. Watch this. And it shall be that if thou wilt hearken unto all that I, see that? You need to circle I, command thee, and wilt walk in my, need to circle my ways, and do that is right in my, see that? My sight, circle that. You see that? And to keep my statutes. All right? And my, see that? Commandments, see that? As David, my servant did, that I, see it, get it? Amen. Will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David. So when you look at verse 38, what do you get out of that? That's all about God, isn't it? You see, God saying, I want to be the main influence in your life. I want to be the main influence in your life. If you let me be, and if you hearken unto me, and let my statutes and my commandments be the main issue with you. If you let my, I be the main influence in your life, he'll build you a sure house.
Amen.
A sure house. Listen. I know some people that live like that. And God has built them a sure house. But guess what? They met the conditions. And God built them a sure house. See that? A sure house. He said he would do it for him, but he didn't do it. He's going to do something else. And you're going to learn a big lesson about this. Oh, wow, are you going to learn a lesson? My goodness, these next few weeks are just liable to put all of us in overload. But my goodness, the lessons you're going to learn out of this over the next few weeks is so valuable to you, it's unbelievable. I mean, the next few weeks is going to be so valuable to you and your life. I mean, I learned these lessons years ago, and wrote them down and wrote them down and wrote them down. And I can open up some of my books, and there it is. And I can open up some of my commentaries. There it is. I can look around some other stuff. There it is. That's how important it was to me years ago. And that's how important it's going to be to you.
Amen.
You're going to learn to be selective in your influence. Number one, you're going to learn to be selective in your influence. Two, you're going to learn to have the courage to make God your main influence. Now listen, let's look at it like this. When you make God your influence, you're telling everybody else around you they are not.
That's right.
Now, how do you think they're going to take that?
Yes.
I mean, some people are going to get their socks in a wad over that deal. What a big deal. The third thing that you're going to learn over the next few weeks is simply this. Rather than going to the world for wisdom, go to God. Because God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You see. Verse 39. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. In other words, this is going to be a judgment. This is going to be a discipline for this time. It's going to be a judgment and a discipline for this time. So what we find in this lesson? Verse 39 is so important. Here's why. Look at it. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. In other words, judgment's coming, discipline's coming, but it's for a time. Praise God for that.
Amen.
I mean, go back to Hebrews 12, verse 6, 7, and 8. What does that say? Oh, a lot of people don't like that. You see, that's the thing about being a child of God. God's your father. He disciplines you.
Amen.
Doesn't he? All right, you don't lose your salvation. God disciplines his children.
Amen.
And what does he say about that discipline? Whereof all are partakers. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. You know what a bastard is? A fatherless child. So we find then in this lesson, verse 33, because that they have forsaken me. The influence of Solomon, he influenced Israel. Then he put Jeroboam in there. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, made Israel to sin. And that's all, that's what he's known for. But now just think about it. You ready? Who set the stage for Jeroboam? Solomon did. You see that? Let's all stand, if you would, please. As we go to the Lord in prayer. And Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, we thank you, dear Lord, for tonight. We thank you for your word and the things we can learn from it. We thank you for the truths, Lord, even though sometimes the truths are hard for us to deal with. But regardless of that, they're truths. And Father, we realize there's truths to live with, there's truths to die with, because on the other side of death, everything is truth. And so, Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you especially for this time. And, Lord, as I look forward for the next 2 or 3 weeks, Lord, we're walking right through a gold mine of life's examples and experiences and principles. Lord, that if we can see these things and live by them, Lord, if the Holy Spirit will put them into our hearts, our minds, our souls, to live by these things, then we will all wind up with a sure house. And so now, Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, dear God, for allowing me to preach your word tonight. I thank you for the anticipation of preaching it next Sunday night and Sunday morning. And so now, Father, we commit all this unto you. We praise you for this. We thank you for the blood that can wash all of our sins away. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.